Chris.com. My name is Chris Gisti. I am the web admin. I am also, as always, joined by Dez Delgadillo. Dez, how are you doing, sir?
Chris, I've been so far removed from the indie wrestling community. I happened to turn on the internet today, and my God, there are so many events that happened this past weekend. So many comments that were said and newsworthy items to talk about. So this podcast is going to be more fun than a slip and slide in a dorm room hallway.
I don't even understand that at all. So let's...
You've never lived in a dorm and been in a slip on a slip and slide in the hallway? Come on, Chris. You've been to college.
Yeah, usually we're talking about like keggers and music, not slip slides.
Slip and slides and hot and chocolate milk, man.
There you go.
Because I'm an adult. I am an adult.
You are an adult man. Before we get into this, maybe by the time some people are listening to this, happy pre-birthday, Dez.
I know it's your birthday, Chris.
Tomorrow?
Yes, on Thursday it will be. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, yes, thank you. And if not, then you're late and you suck.
Exactly. All right. So yeah, as you said, lots of news and notes. Of course, go to pwponies.com. Tons of indie results for Evolution Pro, CWF, PWX, Rise of a Champion Night 1 and Night 2. Beyond Wrestling held 3 shows. We talked to Sean Radkin about that a little bit later, including Feed'em Frenzy and 2 secret shows, Dez. Secret shows.
2? Not just 1, but 2.
Crazy. And of course, all those matches are going to be released on YouTube. So you're going to be able to check that out. Go to the Indie News section up on PWP and you'll find all the results there. Dez, let's start off, though. Ring of Honor. Joe Koff, he's the COO. He made some comments, finally, about the Matt Hardy, Rebby Sky situation, as well as the VOD and iPay-per-view and production qualities of Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
You know, some people didn't take too kindly to some of those comments.
You know, I've literally got nothing to say about the Rebby Sky situation. He cleared that stuff up, and he talked about it, and he gave his apology. I don't even want to touch it. The production thing, okay, you got the COO of the company coming on this. It's national, international radio show because the law has an incredible reach.
They really do. You have the COO.
Yeah. You have the CEO of the company coming on your international radio show. And what do you say? But, all right, production quality doesn't matter because Ring of Honor fans are going to watch our product regardless. Fine, man. If you don't want to move upward, I mean, that's your prerogative. But if you want to present yourself on a national platform as a company that's perfectly okay, perfectly okay with not having any kind of upward mobility, I think it's a problem. I think that's an image problem. And as somebody who tries to be a little PR conscious, I don't know if that's the right message you want to be sending to a casual wrestling fan. Granted, I don't know how many casual fans are listening to the law, but I mean, you got a lot of fans who are into WWE, TNA, and nothing, and really nothing else. If you have that kind of fan listening to the law and saying, maybe this Ring of Honor thing, I'm going to give it a shot, because I was that fan at one time. You know, this attitude, why do we want to give Ring of Honor if they don't want to get better? But anyway, those are my quick thoughts on it, because I know we have senior editor Jerome Cuson, who really wanted to talk about this thing, because Ring of Honor has some, they're kind of in the news lately of those comments, and then they have their 12th anniversary coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's really big issue. Jerome and I sat down and talked about it. Let's go to that right now. When we come back, we'll get some more thoughts. Joining me on the line right now is our senior editor, Jerome Cuson. Jerome, every once in a while when we bring on the show, usually it's for topics that are of some interest. Currently, it's Ring of Honor and more specifically, Joe Koff, the COO of Ring of Honor. Of course, he went on an interview with Live Audio Wrestling with John Pollock, and he said some rather interesting things. Not necessarily...
Interesting way of putting it.
Yes.
I mean, we were thinking of doing a podcast of honor, but when we once get into the 12th anniversary show and we discuss the card, you guys are going to know why we didn't do a full podcast of honor. That will be forthcoming probably next week, hopefully with a full review of the 12th anniversary show, plus whatever other Ring of Honor news now. But yeah, you know, a Ring of Honor employee can't go 3 months without either being arrested or saying something stupid. So it only makes sense that, you know, we come together and discuss this because, you know, Joe Koff, what he discussed was sort of related to what I discussed about Matt Hardy. So,
yes, at least he finally addressed it. So he addressed three major topics, and this is all covered. He covered Matt Hardy and Ravi Sky's situation. He covered their video on demand and iPay-per-view issue, and he covered their production. I have more issue with the latter two subjects, but Jerome, just real quick, did you have any thoughts about them finally addressing Hardy and Ravi Sky and that whole ordeal?
I mean, I think it's funny because you would think that addressing the situation would actually make it better, but in fact, it was pretty much like pouring gasoline on an electric fire. It actually made things worse. And, you know, I think the story was sort of dying down, even though I think there's still some disgruntlement among a certain pocket of fans, including myself, you know, but I don't think the average Ring of Honor fan really cared. I mean, this was a story that was on TMZ. You know, I don't think people are particularly happy about Matt Hardy's presence in the company, but I don't think this story had any legs whatsoever. But now Joe Koff comes in and says what he says, and I assume, Chris, that you have the quotes in front of you, and I'll let you read them in a moment, but, you know, it just feels like he made the situation much, much worse. And I don't think it's a poor reflection of Matt Hardy and Ravi Sky necessarily. I don't think obviously these quotes, you know, these quotes relate to that situation, but I think this is more of a poor reflection on Joe Koff, the COO of Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I understand what he's trying to do. He's just going to spin control. He does mention it did appear on TMZ. It did happen. Of course, it happened so much earlier than it was finally reported. And this is all, quote, "You know, I got to tell you something," John, referring to John Pollock. "There was really not a lot about it. I saw the stuff on TMZ, and I saw a couple of Facebook comments about Matt wrestling in Philadelphia. I think it was really not a big deal. I don't have a position on that. I think the charges were dropped." End of quote. And, you know, it's spin control. Could he have said, you know, said something a little bit better? Probably. But, you know, whatever.
If that was the end, I don't think we're having this conversation. Because, I have a minor issue with it. But, you know, I can understand where he's coming from here. It's really the next part that I think is the really damning part.
Oh, where you go? Okay, so he says this, quote, "You never want to get involved in domestic spats and domestic relationship and domestic disputes, but if a court of law or the judicial system could find no fault with it, I don't feel that's something we necessarily have to take a stance on." He says some other stuff mentioning CM Punk. And then at the end, I love this quote, quote, "I can't say, but really it was a domestic battle that got, you know, they're two wrestlers, they're probably two physical people," end of quote.
That's
the money line.
You know, it's, and you know what? I, the thing that to me that this brings up, you know, it's Matt Hardy and Ravi Sky, their domestic situation. And to me, I think what Joe Koff is really sort of bringing up is this idea that, you know, we're in a situation now where Ring of Honor is owned by a publicly traded company. And I feel like I have to keep saying that because part of me doesn't believe it based on the behavior of some of the talents and some of the people who have been associated with the company in management, Jim Cornette. And, you know, individually, I think these incidents, they're not bad. But when you put everything together, it really poorly reflects on the company at large. And Joe Koff is not a character on television. He is the CEO of the company, and he also has, you know, he has a very high-ranking position in Sinclair Broadcasting as it relates to sales. So, and this is someone who's been working in television for the last 40 years. This isn't some young kid who's saying something stupid on the radio. This is someone who should absolutely know better than to make a comment like that. And, you know, after what Jay Briscoe did, you know, there was all this stuff about the No Hate campaign. But when you look at how Ring of Honor treats its female talents, you know, with Maria, you know, Maria really, you know, she recently cut a promo talking about wanting to be equal to men. And she gets booed. She gets treated as a heel for it. You go back to Final Battle. And while individually, you know, I can understand, you know, Maria taking the big bump at the biggest show of the year. You know, individually, from a storyline standpoint, that makes sense. And Tommaso Ciampa dismantling the whole House of Truth, you know, individually, that makes sense, you know, even though he's beating up the girls. But when you put that all together, when you look at, you know, the comments that Truth Martini makes about the Hoopla Hotties on television and Maria being treated like a heel and Vita Scott being treated like a heel, you know, Ring of Honor just seems to have this pervasive sexist attitude towards women, which, to be fair, a lot of wrestling companies do. But when you put that all together, to me, it just seems like Ring of Honor is being really irresponsible about the situation. And Joe Koff's whole comments, in particular the one saying, you know, they're two wrestlers, they're probably two physical people. When you say something like that and you look at the way that Ring of Honor treats their female talents, you put that all together, and I think it's a very negative situation that deserves attention, and I think it deserves a lot of negative attention because Ring of Honor doesn't seem to hold some of their employees of a certain gender in very high regard.
Right. It's kind of that situation where they are Ring of Honor. They used to be an independent professional wrestling company. They are now owned by a corporation that just put up its last quarter revenue profits in the millions. So there are certain things that we used to let them get away with when they were essentially a mom and pops, you know. But now it's almost inexcusable. So I completely understand where you're coming from on that. There's not much more to add. It is what it is. If there were two female wrestlers who kind of balanced it out, that would make a heck of a lot of difference. But pretty much there's this Maria.
If Ring of Honor could actually try the women's division, then maybe this would be a different situation. If there were women who were treated as something other than objects, then maybe this would be a different conversation. But the reality is that it isn't. And, you know, even WWE seems to hold their female employees in higher regard than Ring of Honor does. And that's awfully sad.
That is. So let's get into the next two topics. He mentioned the video on demand compared to high pay-per-view. These quotes, they said, you know, he mentioned that they're pretty good at VOD. He did mention that there's a lot of competition, you know, people that he reads online, you know, they tweet a lot of good things about their events, and that he's disappointed that they can't establish any type of delivery system that he feels is good enough for the fans. You know, typical spin stuff. There's nothing he said here that I think is wrong. Obviously, it's frustrating that SBG doesn't put more money towards Ring of Honor, but you know what? Maybe he's not in control of that. Clearly, he's not. And I just feel that, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. Jerome, did you take an issue with what he said about IPPV? Because really, it's what he said about production quality that got my dander up enough for me to tweet about it. And I think anyone that follows me knows I don't tweet a whole lot about wrestling in terms of the negative stuff. But this, what he said, just kind of...
Chris, I'll let you go to town on this. I'll even read the quote and just let you respond. But, you know, I mean, Joe Koff is a, you know, I think he's a roughly 50 or 60-year-old man, so he's really not going to have the understanding of what the reality is that we live in a now society where you can live tweet results and you can find out instantaneously what is happening at a given independent wrestling show. And it is the responsibility of the promotions to adjust to the technology. It is not the technology's responsibility to kowtow to what's happening with the companies. You know, it's not our job to keep everything a secret. You know, what happens at a Ring of Honor event as it's happening is considered news. And the only obligation that I feel is if we're talking about spoilers, then we let the fans know. And then they can make the decision about whether they want to avoid listening to a podcast, reading an article. The onus to me is on the fans to avoid the spoilers, not the other way around, because it's news and it's current news.
Yeah, I'm always kind of conflicted because lately, and we've seen this with Wrestling's Finest and State of the Art, they're not releasing events on VOD as quickly as they used to be. They are pretty much just showcasing them on television. And then I think afterwards we'll see them on VOD, which I'm kind of little miffed about, but it's not a big thing. But they still also have distinct TV taping. So when we report them on PWP, the TV tapings always have the spoilers in the heading, but I'm almost now conflicted to say maybe regular Ring of Honor should now have spoiler in the heading because it is going to be shown on television, and they practically are television events. They just happen to have a title for whatever reason. We'll We'll get to that.
So,
but yeah,
Chris,
anyway.
I know that you are big into production quality, and it's something that I think I feel pretty passionately about as well, just the way that you are presenting your product. And, you know, Joe Koff, when asked about the production quality, said, if that wrestling fan is in Ring of Honor, I can see why they might be a little bit disappointed. Our guys are athletes. Our guys are physical. Our guys are flying. Our guys are well-toned, well-tuned, and they're not giants. They're just not giants. They're just well-proportioned athletes that take their health very, very seriously. And we do everything in the ring. We do very little on the mic because I want to give our viewers and our fans wrestling, because that's why they're tuned in to watch when they watch Ring of Honor. When they tune in to watch WWE and even TNA to an effect, they're looking at those production values. But quite frankly, I don't think you need to have production values if the quality of the work is there. It will not attract that person who's that kind of floating through with the remote and says, oh, there's wrestling, I will watch it for a bit. I think that maybe we missed that viewer, but the fans know what we're about, and that's what we deliver to the fans. Chris, go ahead.
Okay, where to start with this? So I think it's well known, and even if you don't know, I've been a Ring of Honor fan since 2002, since they started. In this argument that he makes, yes, your guys, Ring of Honor talents, I think, obviously some of the best wrestlers in the world. You could put them up against any other talent roster, and I think they fare pretty well. What that has to do with production, I have no idea. Because production is one thing, talent is another. You don't go into a television studio and say, hey, you know what? Okay, for example, Jerome, you and I are watching House of Cards. If House of Cards look like crap, no matter the amount of talent that is there, you probably wouldn't watch it. And maybe we'd be missing out. And, you know, that could be true. But it just doesn't work with that argument that, oh, because we have really good in-ring work, our production values don't matter. I would understand that if Ring of Honor was like AIW, AAW, Beyond Wrestling, Deberman Live, not owned by a multi-million dollar corporation. But guess what, Ring of Honor? You're owned by Sinclair Broadcast Group. You have lots of money. And for your COO to say that production values don't matter, that's ridiculous. You're a TV product. You're practically selling your product to the people that see you. And say, for example, you had a WWE fan who is an avid wrestling fan, wants to find something else, and they happen to tune into Ring of Honor. And they see a great match between, say, Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe or Michael Elgin, but the production value isn't there, and they're not going to stay around and become a constant viewer. To say that that's okay, that's horrible. That is one of the most irresponsible things I could say someone in his position could say about his own product. To say that the fans, oh, if you're just a casual wrestling fan, and we miss you because you don't like our productions, that's okay. The fans that know what we're about, that's what we deliver. No, that's not the point. I have been around Ring of Honor since 2002. I've supported them monetarily. I have over 500 DVDs. Give that the average price of $14 per DVD. I've put in a lot of money into the product. When it's finally bought by a multi-million dollar corporation, I expect the production to go up. In essence, Joe Koff just said, hardcore wrestling fans don't care about production value, and casual wrestling fans, that's not who we're here for. That is a horrible message to send. That you're basically saying we don't care about customers or potential customers that we could have. We're fine with blowing them off because the niche group of fans we have, that's what we deliver for. That part on the surface sounds fine until you really think about what he's saying. You're the hardcore fans. You're going to watch us no matter what our production looks like, and we know it, so we don't care. That's despicable. That's a horrible way to look at your fan base. Exactly. And it really insulted me. You know, even if I had just gone into the product in 2010, I'd look at this quote and say, really? So you don't care what I think about your product. You just think that you're good wrestling. And there is really good wrestling in Ring of Honor. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, that's not always enough. And to say that it's okay that that's not enough when you're in the position he's in, I have an issue with that. If it's a guy, you know, Michael Elgin, Adam Cole, who, you know, one of the talent saying that, that's fine because that's what they're focused on. They are focused on the in-ring quality. But the COO, you shouldn't be saying stuff like that. You shouldn't be saying that your customers don't matter because it I think it's pretty much proven that it does. You know, he brought up TNA. TNA production values are pretty good. You know, there's some miffs here and there, but they're pretty good. Their customers don't want to pay for their pay-per-views. Hey, and anyone that wants to argue that with me, yeah, you get a million viewers every week for TNA. How many of you are buying their pay-per-views? Like 5,000, 3,000 of you out of a million?
Jeez. Pouch show attendance numbers, and exactly. That'll tell you how much people are willing to pay for the product. So.
Exactly. So I realize this has just turned into a long rant, but that's just how I feel. Joe Koff just pretty much said, it doesn't matter. If you're a hardcore fan, you'll watch anyway, no matter the crap we put on the screen. And if you're a casual fan, yeah, we don't care if you don't watch. That's essentially what he just said. Amazes me.
I mean, he's not the first person in wrestling, even in the last month, to say something to this effect. And, you know, I mean, the differences between Ring of Honor and AIW, there really are a lot of differences. But, you know, when AIW puts out a show, you know, they're a small wrestling company that does not have corporate support, and they're not airing in 50 stations across the country.
37%. That's what, according to their numbers, they have 37% of the United States audience.
So 37%. So they're, you know, Ring of Honor is airing on the same stations that are airing, you know, if they're on a Fox affiliate, Fox airs the NFL, they air Major League Baseball. You know, if they're on other, you know, channels, if they're on a CW, then they may be airing local sports, but all that stuff is in high definition. And if all that is in high def, and you get this little, you know, rinky-dink company that is airing in standard definition, you know, how is that going to reflect on Ring of Honor as a company? I don't think it's going to reflect very well. And I think that there are a lot of things that Ring of Honor cannot control at this point. You know, there was a certain point when guys like Michael Elgin and Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe or Kevin Steen, even, they could very well leave the company tomorrow. And, you know, there's nothing that Ring of Honor, you know, there's minimal that they can do about it if they don't have contracts. They can't control, you know, Kevin Kelly could get a full-time job and not be able to be the announcer next week. And there's nothing that Ring of Honor can do about that because that's the talent. They can go do other things. The Ring of Honor can control is they can control their own production values. That means, you know, putting on live pay-per-views. That means getting the VODs in a timely fashion. That means putting on a high-quality television broadcast on a weekly basis. And the thing that continues to be their biggest weakness is the thing that they can control. Their biggest strength continues to be the talent that wants to work hard and wants to get into the main event positions of Ring of Honor so that they can move on to WWE and, you know, go be multimillionaires. And I feel like Ring of Honor is in a very, very bad position, worse than ever, you know, because they are giving, you know, all of these guys television exposure, and the natural inclination for a lot of these guys is going to be to shift their focus to WWE, because we all know that WWE is taking a more active interest in the independent wrestling scene, and most likely they are watching, somebody in WWE is likely watching Ring of Honor on a weekly basis. So Ring of Honor isn't doing what it can to take care of the things that it can control by presenting the product in the best way possible. I think that the production is a major problem. A live eye pay-per-view obviously is a huge part of that, but you know, if you're not taking pride in the way that you are presenting your product, then that says a lot about how you regard the company in the grand scheme of sin broadcasting.
Right. I mean, we're even talking stage production. You know, I brought this up. Promotions like VWAA or AIW, certain AAW shows. You know, I see banners hanging. You know, they have things hoisted up. They have, you know, lighting rigs. Maybe, of course, we all get the white flash of death, you know, and that really hurts our eyes. But at least they're trying. You know, they spend some money. You know, some of the flyers and the banners they put up are specific to their events. Why Ring of Honor can't do that for their major events, I don't understand. You know, for Final Battle, for Glory by Honor, spend a little bit more money. Make a banner for the ring. Make a special banner, you know, put out in the crowd, something like that so you can see it. It's just kind of ridiculous to me that
I mean, sell advertisements, yeah, if that's what it takes. I mean, you know,
Yes, Be New Japan. Put some advertisements in the ring. I don't know. I'm just saying. There's just so much more that they could be doing. And I'm not. It's not even stuff that would cost a whole lot. It's not. I mean, it is expensive, but for Ring of Honor, it shouldn't be. So,
I mean, I'm not asking for them to all of a sudden, you know, AJ Styles $100,000 contract. I'm not asking, you know, to get these guys these outrageous contracts. But, you know, if you want this to be a cheap TV product, then you're never ever going to elevate yourself. If you are perfectly comfortable with where you're at, then you're never going to grow, and all you're going to do is stagnate. And I think that's ultimately what is happening now with the company. I feel like they've been very, very stagnant for the last few months, and that's not to say that there are bad things going on. You know, I think Adam Cole has been a fine world champion. I think Tommaso Ciampa is a fine TV champion. I like Red Dragon. But when you look at what Ring of Honor is presenting, and this is a good way to transition into the anniversary card, you know, I can't say that I'm even interested in, like, all but two of the matches on the card, and one of the matches is basically a TNA match.
Yeah, you know, let's get into that. So that's coming up February 21st, night one. I want to thank everyone that's going to be our correspondents for that. We're still looking for correspondents for night two, the TV tapings. The main event, ROH World Championship, Adam Cole defends against Chris Hero. First time ever in Ring of Honor, AJ Styles versus Jay Lethal. Matt Hardy versus Michael Elgin. The TV Championship will be on the line as Tommaso Ciampa defends against the 2014 Top Prospect Tournament winner, Hansen. And just today, as of this recording, they added Kevin Steen versus Cliff Compton in a Philly street fight, Silas Young versus Matt Taven, and The Decade, Roderick Strong, BJ Whitmer, and Jimmy Jacobs, versus Mark Briscoe, Adam Page, and Cedric Alexander. And then night two, the TV tapings, there will be AJ Styles versus Michael Elgin. So looking forward to that, Jerome. You know, which two matches are you looking forward to the most? Because, you know, of the matches listed, I would probably say Ciampa versus Hansen just because Lethal Styles and Hero Cole. So what do you have?
The Cole and Hero, I think, is going to be really good. I haven't seen their PWG match yet, but I'm fairly confident that, you know, Chris Hero has been back on the indies now for another month, almost 2 months. I'm sure he's got his sea legs back. You know, I think in Ring of Honor at the 12th anniversary show, this has to be one of the best matches of the night, if not a match of the year contender. I think that these two guys can absolutely deliver on that promise, and I have the most confidence that it is going to be a very good match. We'll see, you know, if Matt Hardy plays a role or if Michael Elgin plays a role. That could get awkward. AJ Styles and Kendall, I think it's just going to be a good match. Jay Lethal is one of those guys that doesn't really get the credit he deserves in Ring of Honor, but he has been one of the most consistent talents over the last couple of years. So I have the utmost confidence that this is going to be good. And if AJ Styles is indeed done with TNA forever and ever and ever, then this is a big match for him, because Ring of Honor is probably going to be one of the primary places that he wrestles, at least for the TV tapings and for the iPay-per-views. So I think it's really, really important for AJ Styles and Jay Lethal to have a good match and for Styles to show that he deserves to be brought in more on a regular basis. And my hunch is that, you know, Cole's going to retain, Styles is going to win. Michael Elgin and Matt Hardy, it's, you know, Michael Elgin has had so many Match of the Year contenders in places like Ring of Honor, AEW, and AIW. It almost feels like Ring of Honor is trying to test Elgin's ability to have a Match of the Year contender with anyone, because my hunch is he's not going to have one with Matt Hardy. Hansen doesn't do anything for me, so I'm sure Ciampa's going to win, and that's fine. Ciampa should be winning. He shouldn't be losing the TV title at this point. You know, if he gets him up in Project Ciampa, that'll be a very impressive visual. The Decade, I'm sure, going to win their six-man tag, because Ring of Honor has no idea what they're doing with either Cedric Alexander or Adam Page. Silas Young should be beating Matt Taven. I'm not very confident that he is, because I think Taven's getting another TV title match. But
yeah, he seems to be on the road to redemption. You know, he's redeeming himself from his...
He is not a good babyface, by the way. This is not going to work. And Kevin Steen and Cliff Compton...
It's a street fight.
I mean, this is the problem with Ring of Honor storytelling. is a guy wins the Ring of Honor world title, and once they lose the world title, they're just very directionless for a period of time. You know, I'm pretty sure that Steen is going to win, and I'm sure he's going to get his rematch with Adam Cole at some point. It'll be okay. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Cliff Compton as a wrestler. It's very amusing to me that, you know, part of the reason that Cliff Compton is so well known is because of his two podcasts with Colt Cabana, and that's for talking, and I think he's had about 30 seconds of promo time in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I know that he attacked him at the tail end of one episode, and then we got promos on YouTube, and that's it. He hasn't even been on recent television. You would have no idea that this match was occurring if you watched the latest television. I haven't watched the episode from this past weekend, but still. It's kind
of ridiculous. Ring of Honor TV does a very poor job of building these big shows. That's another podcast.
Yeah. So anyway, Jerome, before we get out of here, any thoughts on what the big announcement is at HonorCon?
I think it's going to be something of, they're running a joint show with New Japan in May in New York City, or specifically, Tanahashi is coming to Ring of Honor. I think it's going to be somewhere in that neighborhood.
That would be fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us, Jerome. Really appreciate it.
One of these days I'm going to come on and be very happy to talk about Ring of Honor. It might not be for a while though. We'll see. We'll see what the cards are in Milwaukee and Chicago, as I will be attending both.
And live tweeting. Hopefully.
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jerome. Appreciate it. All right. So obviously, Jerome and I just very similar thoughts to what you said, Dez. It's pretty much the same situation where you have the CEO of the company basically saying that production doesn't matter. And it's like, you're not a mom and pop independent promotion anymore. You're owned by SBG.
Yeah. It's not 2003.
Exactly. They post their profits in the millions. And you're telling me that production of a television product, that doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if a casual fan flipping through channels looks at Ring of Honor and goes, you know what? I might have watched that.
Yeah.
But the production. And you're going to say that doesn't matter? I don't know.
To me, the funniest thing is you're boasting that you have your television show in so many markets, and you're gonna branch out, and you're planning on extending into even more in more markets, television markets. And yet, at the same time, you're telling me, well, you know, the product qualities of my TV show aren't very good, but it doesn't matter. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, and as I said, the quality in the ring. Hey, Ring of Honor, I'll still argue to this day, I've been a fan since 2002, that they have some of the best wrestlers in the world. But production matters in 2014. It really does. Yeah. You know, I brought up the example. Dez, I don't think you're watching House of Cards, but any show that you watch on TV, if the production wasn't there, no matter how good the acting was, I don't think that many people would give it a shot. So I find these comments to just, it's kind of annoying, you know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. But hey, Ring of Honor, they've been around for 12 years. We're coming up on their anniversary weekend. Of course, we will have all the results, including from their TV and the main event, well, the main show itself. Some of the updated matches, of course, the World TV titles on the line, Jay Lethal versus Tommaso Ciampa, Romantic Tunch versus R.D. Evans, The Decade, Roderick Strong and BJ Whitmer, Jimmy Jacobs versus Adrenaline Rush, and Andrew Everett. The return of Outlaw Inc., Dez, I know there's some of your favorites. And then, of course, you know, the main event, Chris Hero and Adam Cole, tons of other matches as well. I mean, it looks to be a great show. And of course, at the TV tapings, they've announced AJ Styles versus Michael Elgin. And
that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, and then of course the matches actually I just mentioned, all of those are going to be for the night two of the 12th anniversary weekend. Sorry for the confusion there, but this is my thing, Dez. So we have TV tapings, we have the 12th anniversary, but you know, we were talking about this a little bit off the air. They also had Wrestling's Finest and State of the Art, two events that they haven't released on VOD yet. And the assumption is, it's because they're going to be released on TV, which is great, you know, the Road Rage episodes, whatever. But at this point, if that's the way it works, aren't all the events then for television? I mean, why am I sitting here not being able to buy the full events, you know, on VOD? And it's like, yeah, when they come up on TV, great. Those are episodes I guess I won't watch. But yeah. Ring of Honor is not even on my TV, so that's not even really a problem. Why aren't these events out available to us, Des. I don't understand this format change.
And as a reporter, why are you sitting here trying to differentiate between the TV tape and the actual main show when in reality, judging by the way they've tempered the releases over the last two shows, why is the 12th anniversary main show not going to be a TV taping? I mean, it's been treated that way. We've seen with the last Wrestling Minus, I think, or January shows, whatever they were, have been slowly but surely coming out on TV. And we haven't gotten a full show online like we have for the past couple of months. So I'm thinking, maybe the 12th anniversary is going to be treated the same way, which kind of makes me sad because that's what I was looking forward to. They've been pretty good over, I think the end of 2013 of doing the shows and releasing them on their website on Thursday for like $15. I was looking forward to dropping those $15 and watching the anniversary show next week. And now it looks like I'm going to have to wait a month and watch it over TV. And that's really annoying.
Yeah, and hey, I mean, we realize Ring of Honor releases it Monday if you're a ringside member, Thursday if you're a free general member, but yeah, I don't know, Des. Not saying that it discourages me from watching because I have to, wait, because obviously, we're wrestling fans. We're kind of used to that at this point. But yeah, it kind of takes away, because if like night two of the 12th anniversary weekend are TV tapings and then night one is the actual event itself, there's something special when you can say this is the event. This is the 12th anniversary. And hey, yeah, we're not going to be able to watch it live, but we'll get it out there as soon as possible. I think with Final Battle, they got it out by the Monday afterwards.
Yeah,
that's what
it was,
I
great.
Say, something like that.
Yeah, it was Monday.
Yeah, and I mean, that we've all heard, it's always been reported that day after buys, stuff like that, doesn't always come across as well as live purchases. But still, there's got to be more demand for it than, oh, why don't we wait till we put it on TV and then release the whole DVD? I mean, that to me doesn't make any sense.
We've been talking about Ring of Honor for like a half hour, and I know if you're listening, you probably hate Ring of Honor by now, but let me make one more point, and then we'll move over to something different. It's, you're doing the anniversary show, and, I don't get the idea of just waiting and putting it out on television that way. In terms of, the Final Battle show was like you pointed out, it is the most anticipated thing of the year for Ring of Honor. But wouldn't the 12th anniversary or any year, the anniversary, be the second most anticipated thing? So why are you going to drag it out? To me, it feels like Ring of Honor is trying to have their cake and eat it too and have a show that you're building up to all month long or whatever it is on your television show. But then when it comes down to it, you're just taping more TV.
Yeah, I kind of love. I'm on their website right now, just checking to see if maybe I'm mistaken. It's still under new release, Final Battle 2013, and that's the last show.
Last thing.
And I'm like, you guys have had events. Seems kind of petty. Still, we had State of the Art in February, and it says to be available on VOD if you look on here. And then, of course, Wrestling Finest to be available on VOD, and
I don't think it's petty at all, because I think either put it stuff out on VOD or don't, but do something consistent, because they've been sending mixed messages for about a year about how they're going to deliver their content to us. Are you going to give us an iPay-per-view? Are you going to give it to us on delay? Or are you going to give it to us on major delay and put it on TV? Whatever it is, make up your mind and stick to it, because it's going to be hard for consumers to consume your product if you're not being consistent with it.
I agree. Before we stop talking about Ring of Honor, let's talk about their Milwaukee show. They released the first match for Raising the Bar Night 1. Des, maybe the closest thing we're going to get, the Young Bucks and Kevin Steen against Michael Elgin and the Briscoes in a six-man tag. Mount Rushmore to Ring of Honor, maybe?
Pretty close.
Think about that, though. If they were to add Adam Cole into that, that would mean Matt Hardy would be be out there also. So you take the good and the bad, maybe.
Just do that despite PWG.
Probably.
Matt Hardy and Mount Rushmore.
Hey, Matt Hardy, he throws a super kick every once in a while.
Then it really would be Matt Rushmore.
Oh, that was horrible, Des. All right, let's talk about our friends over at CWF Mid-Atlantic. They're presenting the 2014 PWI Tag Team Tournament. It starts February 28th. Let's talk about some of the teams already announced. representing the NCWA out of Clayton, North Carolina, Lewis Moore and Matt Houston. Mark James and Donnie Dollars for ECPW. Roy Wilkins and Walter Eaton, they are former Mid-Atlantic champions. Mecca Mercenary and Michael McAllister, they are the current Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions. The Killbillies of Eric Andrews and Evan Banks. Mighty Mo and Oz Tyler from On Point Wrestling. Trip Cassidy and Josh Crane representing Evolution Pro. And Lance Lude and Cedric Alexander representing the Ultra J Division. You know, these are two guys, you know, that we've mentioned before, Lance Lute and Cedric Alexander, kind of the young up-and-coming talents. And, of course, CWF, really the place to go when you're looking for younger talents, trying to see if you're going to see them anywhere else. Hey, guys like Andrew, that's where they came from. So I encourage everyone to check them out. Go to CWF247.com for more information. Dez, I don't know how much AIW you've been watching lately, but they have a 30-person gauntlet for a shot at the Absolute title coming at Absolution 9. They've announced a ton of names. Lewis Linden, Bobby Beverly, Gregory Iron, Veda Scott, ACH, Josh Prohibition, Flip Kendrick, Tim Donst, Leavon Dutch, Matt Cross, and Marion Fontaine, just name a few. You know, there's always something kind of special for AIW, and I think that right now they're really doing a lot of great shows. I think they've even put out a Best of 2013 DVD recently.
Yes.
When it comes to AIW, do you think that – I think this show is taking place in March, correct? Is this is this kind of a long stretch, or do you think that that kind of adds to the allure of watching AIW when it comes out?
No, it seems like a stretch, but it's really not, because the way AIW structures its show is they'll have their the March show, which is the Gauntlet for the Gold, which is the first step really going into Absolution. But then they'll also have the J-Lit, and it's usually in May. I'm not sure what it's scheduled for this year, but it's typically in May. It's usually a two-day affair, and that adds to it, because then you have another contender in the mix. So all the while, you're building contenders and you're keeping the interest fresh in a competitive sense. So by the time July rolls around, or the end of June, you have Absolution and you have all of these contenders set up. You have a big title match and a lot of intrigue going into the show. So I think they do a very good job at this time of year, really structuring it and making it feel like this is the most competitive wrestling company in the world. And whether it is or it isn't, that's really the sense it gives the fans. And so it really compels you to, whether it's a pay-per-view, to tune in or to show up at Turner's Hall for Absolution. So it's a really good time. Plus, not only do we have that, but we also have the Girls' Night Out show. So it just feels like a happening time for AIW.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking out the Best of 2013. I'm not one of those fans. I don't buy every AIW event. I know that I sound like a horrible person right now, but I don't. You know, I gotta spend my money in a discretionary way. But I definitely check out their best ofs, and, you know, usually based on reviews from you or Jerome, I'll buy a show here and there, especially when it stands out. So, and I think Gauntlet for the Gold, that's kind of one of their major annual shows, clearly, because this is the 9th one. So, yes. Looking forward to that. And we'll see what AIW does going forward. Dez, here's a topic. I don't even know if we've ever really gauged in it, but we're gonna talk about House of Hardcore and Extreme Rising real quick. But before we do, you know, I know a lot of people listening, maybe some of our readers, they've mentioned to us, you know, they're just more, what, I guess, nostalgia, quote-unquote ECW, I don't want to say ripoffs, but you know what I mean, kind of the act that's trying to follow what ECW was. Do these types of shows interest you? You know, just the fan kind of going out there, you remember what ECW was, but I don't know, does the branding of these types of promotions really encourage you, Dez, to go out of your way to watch them? I mean, I don't know. For me, it's kind of a mixed bag.
You know? Not for me at all. Not anymore, because reason number one, it's 2014, and ECW died in 2001. I mean, that's 13 years, and it was cool in 2005 when WWE did it. It was cool in 2006 when WWE did it. But after you have a relaunch TV show in the name of ECW and all these promotions rising up to do the same thing, it's sort of hard to watch, especially because the ECW product, I go back and I watch stuff, Chris, you know, for throwback vibes and things like that. ECW does not age well. If you go back and you watch those angles, it's like, oh my, this was cool in 1999. In 2014, this is kind of a train wreck.
Yeah, I completely agree. I do. There are some matches I think that hold up, just the match itself, and maybe even some entire cards. But it does feel, when I try to present it to a newer fan, they're kind of like, really? That's what you liked in 1990 or, you know, 96, 97. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know? Yeah. But hey, Dez, let's never forget Matt Hardy. He's a former ECW champion.
No. Yes, that's right. But hey, so is Ezekiel Jackson. So.
Wow. That's Ezekiel Jackson mentioned on the podcast. That's new. All right, let's talk about this, though. Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore, they announced they were going to be running two events in June, Friday on the 6th in Poughkeepsie, New York at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, and Saturday on the 7th in Philadelphia at the National Guard Armory. Extreme Rising returns March 1st to the former ECW Arena. It's going to be broadcast live on iPay-Per-View by our friends over at HighSpots.com. Their announced matches so far, Extreme Rising Champion Stevie Richards versus Sabu. It is a rematch, Des, from an ECW Harsberry in 1996. So that's in 2014. That's going to happen.
I cannot believe that they actually specifically mentioned that.
Yes, yes, they do. Rhino versus Devin Storm in a Falls Count Anywhere. Balls Mahoney and Axel Rotten versus Too Tough Tony and Matt Tremont in a hardcore match. Lou Cox versus Rich Ortiz. Papa Don versus Takaki Watanabe. The return of Jay Bradley versus the debuting Matt Cross. Blackout versus the Hit Squad and Gary Wolf. And a Wildcat four-way. And then Sandman, Shane Douglas, Blue Meanie, Robbie Illuminati, American Tiger, Thomas Rodman, and more. They're also saying the promotion has booked a return April 26th to the facility as well. And then May 3rd, a return to Pittsburgh. You go to extremerising.com for all that information. You know,
Two things on that. Okay. Shoot. One, as a journalist, I must correct myself. I committed a fatal journalistic error. Ezekiel Jackson is not a former ECW champion. He is, in fact, still the ECW champion since he was the last ever ECW champion. That's point number one. Point number two is Rich Ortiz the Rich Ortiz that I'm thinking of?
I believe so, yes. Ricky O'Reilly or, you know, I believe so.
That's awesome. All right, go on.
Hey, do you know that? You're not excited, Dez, about Gary Wolf in 2014? Blue Meanie?
Yeah. No? You know, I like this idea that, you know, some companies coming back and rebranding. You know, they do some things, but, you know, this is just like, you know, okay, cool. Do your thing.
Why don't we talk about a promotion that is actually doing some pretty awesome stuff this coming weekend. Dragon Gate USA, two big shows, Revolt and Way of the Roman 2014. First, we got to say Ryo Saito and Biff Busick, they're unable to compete on this weekend's show due to injury. So that's kind of unfortunate, but this has opened the door for a new talent initiative this weekend. There are going to be several fresh faces added to the shows. You know, hey, and to me, that's always kind of exciting. You know, when Dragon Gate or Evolve, they bring out younger, newer talent. I think we've all said Gabe Sapolsky, he has an eye for young talent, new and upcoming guys. So I'm kind of intrigued to see who it is. I'm assuming it's maybe some names that we've already seen before, but still, adding them to the mix, I think, is always a good thing. Revolt takes place Saturday, February 22nd in Elmhurst, New York. They are having a special sale on it. I still believe... according to details, yes, it is still going on. So even by the time you listen to this, it goes on until Friday at midnight Eastern. Go get it for $9.99. That also gives you the unlimited access. Go check it out. Sign up with our link and help out PWP. Johnny Gargano versus Shima. AR Fox versus Drew Gulak. The Bravado Brothers defend their tag titles against Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. Rich Swann versus Trent Beretta. In a Shine Showcase match, the champion Eva Lise versus Sue Young. Plus the New Talent Initiative. And that includes Jigsaw, Anthony Nese, Caleb Conley, Shane Strickland, and more. And then Way of the Ronin 2014 takes place in Brooklyn, New York, the next night on Sunday. I am assuming, since it is live on iPay-Per-View, we will have on-site coverage or at least the day after review. So stick with us at pwp.ponderings.com. You can check this out, wmnlive.com. Johnny Gargano versus – or the Shima winner, actually. They will defend the title against Roderick Strong. AR Fox defends his Evolve title against Chris Hero. Fire Ant versus Jigsaw. And then the loser of the Gargano and Shima match will face a member of the Premier Athlete brand. Of course, that's either Trent or Tony Nese. And then we have Shine Champion Eve Valise, Rich Swann, Drew Gulak, Chuck Taylor, Caleb Collins, Shane Strickland, and the Bravado Brothers also. We got some comments, actually, from Gabe Sapolsky. We wanted to get him on a podcast. Of course, timing and scheduling being what it is, we unfortunately couldn't make that work together, but he did want to say that the new talent initiative is going to be one of the more exciting things going on right now. And of course, DGUSA, I don't know, Des. I know you and I have been, you know, critical of the product. I don't think that's any secret. But I will say, when it comes to this kind of stuff, you know, having to book on the fly, especially if there's an issue, Gabe usually delivers in some form. I don't know.
He delivers in something palatable. It's not, you know, and to your point, we're critical of everything. So, I mean, you know, it's palatable in the sense that, you know, it's not necessarily something that we count the days for and go, I cannot wait for this talent initiative. But when it happens, it feels like, hey, this is a cool thing that's happening on a wrestling show. And I'm less upset about the fact that somebody's match had to get pulled because of stuff happening. So he does a very good job in that sense and making a show still feel like you're getting your money's worth out of it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's something that obviously I want to give credit to Gabe for. Hey, I'm looking forward to the show. So check them out. And of course, help support PWP. Use our WMN Live link on the website and you'll help us there. Des, another big show that happened this past weekend was Beyond Wrestling, the Feed 'Em Frenzy. Before we got, I said, was able to talk to Sean Radican a little bit about it. But, you know, Beyond Wrestling, hey, they're throwing out some really great shows right now. And they're having talent like Drew Gulak, Kevin Steen, Michael Elgin, Tommaso Ciampa. You know, Des, I know that I don't want to say the casual fan for Beyond Wrestling, but do the names like that intrigue you to want to go out of your way to buy the DVDs and VOD and all that stuff from Beyond, especially when they give away so much free content on their YouTube page?
Yeah, I'm very casual when it comes to Beyond Wrestling, but I love what they're doing because it's so, you know, again, we say the word innovative all the time when we describe them, but it's true. The stuff they do, their distribution model, just everything that they do is very new to the wrestling world. So what they're doing is awesome. And we're talking about talent initiatives. Beyond is the talent initiative, I think. You've got all of these guys. We would have had Biff Busick versus Kevin Steen if Biff hadn't gotten hurt. That's that would have been a huge opportunity for Biff, and it's huge opportunities for everybody in Beyond to get this exposure, this awesome distribution, all the eyes that you have on the company, because they do generate so much free content and give it away. So I think they're doing some really, really good stuff, and I love watching Beyond stuff. And I know Sean Radican of the PW Torch, boom, as journalistic forces collide on pwponderings.com. He loves himself some Beyond Wrestling, and he was actually there live for their big show at Feeding Frenzy.
Yeah, he was. So why don't we go to that real quick, and when we come back, we'll get some closing thoughts. Joining me on the line right now is a man who writes about wrestling almost every day. He is Sean Radican of PWTorch.com. Sean, how are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Of course, obviously, this is one of the first times you've been on the show. I know I've podcasted with you in the past, but just to let everyone know, some of our listeners who may not read The Torch, what is your specialty? What do you generally write about over there?
I cover independent wrestling, believe it or not, at PW Torch. Focusing on Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate USA Evolve, PWG, AAW, AEW. Said I was going to cut back this year, but I'm actually expanding as we speak. So I really have no idea. I've lost my mind with independent wrestling coverage at PW Torch.
Sooner or later, Sean, I'll get some New Japan reviews out of you. Sooner or later.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about why you're on the show right now. You were there live at Beyond Wrestling in Rhode Island. Obviously a great show, Feeding Frenzy, tons of fans there. First thing I got to ask about it, though, before we talk about your live experience, the ring broke a little bit before you got there. Obviously that puts the show back quite a bit. I know when we were talking off the air, they kind of had to fix that situation. So what were your thoughts on that, just finding out right before you got there that the ring broke? And what did you think the crowd kind of reacted to that? Because I know I've seen videos of, I guess they created a human ring for Sugar Duncan and Eric Corbis. But how was that? Because it is a unique experience.
Well, you know, the thing about Beyond Wrestling is everyone there loves Beyond Wrestling. They drew their biggest crowd to date. You know, the venue might hold 400. They drew around 300. So it was pretty packed, you know. I hadn't been since American Rana last summer, their first FET show at FET music show in Providence, Rhode Island. So it was really, you know, you could see that it was hard to tell at first, but as I looked at the crowd, you could tell it was a little bit bigger. The upstairs area I was able to kind of roam around freely last time was much more crowded. People standing up there to watch the show. And as far as the ring goes, you know, people love Beyond Wrestling that go to the shows, and nobody was upset. You know, Drew explained the situation. He even came out after I got there and explained things to the people that were still waiting in line outside. So, you know, people are, you know, really, really, you know, have bonded with Beyond Wrestling in Rhode Island. And, so he ended up having to get a second ring. And while we waited for that, just people, you know, did their thing. You know, there's alcohol, there's a, championship melt, grilled cheese truck, there's a food stand, of course, which is very popular, was there. And of course, there are several wrestlers that fans could interact with. So there's a lot to do. And then we got the human ring. Sugar Dunkerton, kind of impromptu, asked a bunch of people to make a ring, and the tallest people served as the ring post. And he had an impromptu match with Eric Corvus, which was a lot of fun. Only at Beyond Wrestling will you see moments like that. So it took about an hour and a half, 2 hours, but it was no one was upset. You know, it's just FET is a really cool venue, and the Beyond Wrestling experience is really cool. Unlike anything you'll encounter in independent wrestling, just wrestlers milling around, and you know, so much interaction between fans and wrestlers. Fans are right up against the ring the whole show. So if you ever see WXW, it's kind of a little bit like that, in terms of how the crowd surrounds the ring. But it's definitely, you know, I always love going to Beyond Wrestling shows at FET. And yeah, it was the venue is just cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's often said that right now, Beyond Wrestling is kind of becoming the PWG for the New England area, in that you get wrestlers there that you wouldn't normally see face each other in other promotions for one reason or another, and the vibe of the fans is a lot different. How would you describe the fan base in terms of, are they there for Beyond Wrestling, or are they there because they're independent pro wrestling fans and they know who everyone is and they know their backstories and that kind of stuff?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, you got people coming out to see Kevin Steen and Michael Elgin and guys like that. But, you know, the local guys have a lot. You know, Biff Busick, he wasn't on the show because he's injured. But, you know, the last time I went there, man, he was, you know, one of the most over guys on the show. JT Dunn is really over. He's from Providence, Rhode Island. I think it's a mix. You know, you got people coming to see that. But I think Drew did such a good job for the first show of just getting the word out, and with the help promoting with FET Music. I think it's, you know, a lot of people just checked out that first show and became Beyond Wrestling fans, in addition to seeing, you know, the Ring of Honor, DUSA, and, you know, but it's, you can say it's like PWG, but it's like, it's so different from other promotions because, you know, PWG is all stars, you know what I mean? But here, you know, you see guys being made by working with name guys like JT Dunn got a chance to work with Johnny Gargano. Gulak's another guy. We name another feds, but he's the number one ranked guy in Beyond. And, you know, he's wrestling Kevin Steen. It's really cool to see, you know, all these guys under one roof. But you know, it's just crazy to me. You know, I've been watching AIW DVDs, and there's, there's the Hooligans right in front of me. You know, I'm probably not getting out to Cleveland, Ohio anytime soon, but there's, you know, the Hooligans, there's Davey Vega, you know, AIW, there's Matt Cage, and they weren't, Matt Cage and Davey Vega weren't even advertised for the show, as far as I knew. So that was a nice surprise, you know? So it's such a cool atmosphere. You see new wrestlers, you know, a new guy can come in.
Right. You know, it's like the PWG, but PWG is like the all-stars, or like 90% of their roster, if you can call it all-stars. Whereas with Beyond, you get some of the top names, but they really are there to help bring more eyes to the product. And, you know, no offense to guys like Biff Busick and Drew Gulak, who are well-known, you know, for their time in CZW, Drew's the CZW World Champion. But outside of that, you could say that some wrestling fans don't really know who he is. So then you see him face guys like a Steen or Gargano. And then you're like, oh, okay, now I recognize him a little bit more, and just gives him a little bit more oomph when it comes to notoriety. Yeah, I got to ask you, though, that tag team with, I think, like 16 wrestlers, how many of them did you know before you went to the show?
I knew a fair amount of them because I had been to the Beyond show before. You know, I'd even been to a Beyond show a couple of years ago before they did this Fet Music thing, like a little show in East Greenwich, Rhode Island. So I knew a good amount of talent. You know, Devastation Corporation, Darius Carter and TJ Marconi, you know, Tabernacle Day Team. I can't even. I had seen a lot of, you know, some of those teams were at the first Fet show I went to, and that four way tag that was awesome. The Hoods, EFBYO. So I did see a lot. Yeah, I had seen a lot of them before because of my exposure to Beyond Wrestling. But I otherwise I probably would not have known any of it, except maybe Devastation Corporation, because I literally followed the wrestling art.
Absolutely. I mean,
and
that
Chikara.
Is. Of course, and we're actually going to get to that, some of our readers and listeners, when your comments on that. But just overall, what is your thought about Beyond Wrestling and where they're going from this point on? I mean, obviously, they've made Rhode Island their home. You're very close to the venue, or at least in terms of it's easy for you to get there. Do you think that this is something that they could continue and just have a lot of fun with it?
Yeah, I think they can. You know, it's just such a fun time. I saw a lot of the same faces I saw at the first show. You know, just when you recognize a lot, when you start to see the same faces, I saw some new faces. So I think it's something they could continue. You know, they're doing the right things by using the name talent to make stars out of the Beyond roster. So the guys in Beyond are actually, you know, getting over with the fans that come to these shows, like a JT Dunn, Biff Busick, and Drew Gulak. So I think it could continue. You know, they're coming right back next month. So it'd be interesting to see if they're running a more regular schedule. I think the every other month thing helps, because the shows are a lot to take in one night. They're long, you know, they're a lot of fun, but they're long shows. So it'd be interesting to see if the attendance grows from where it is. But I think it's a good thing, and I think really cool thing going on, and I think it's a great venue. The fans are, you know, super passionate, and it's just you know, it's just a lot of fun. You know, it's just you see a lot of, you know, the, you know, killer matches, guys you've never seen before stepping up and like really surprising you. So it's really cool. It's a cool experience. I think it's just starting. You know, if the word spreads more, you know, as more, you know, maybe more releases come out from the previous shows, you know, I think maybe people are traveling more to the shows.
Yeah, I mean, it was also announced at the show that CZW is going to run there in April. You know, how was that fan reaction to that? I mean, and the CZW brand, obviously, I would say is better known than Beyond, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's known everywhere. So how was that reaction, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they got kind of a mixed reaction. I don't think people, you know, some boos and some cheers. There were some CZW, you know, there were some people who were CZW there. It's tough to tell, you know, it depends who they use on the show, I think, and how they promote it locally. It's a big unknown to me, you know what I mean? I don't know.
There were a lot of CZW talents on the show. I mean, you had the tag champions in the Beaver Boys. DJ Hyde, he didn't perform, but he was obviously there.
Oh, he did perform.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay. Oh, right. Sorry. I'm looking at the results actually for the Secret shows right now. We have those up on the site as well. I don't know if you weren't there at those shows, but Beyond Wrestling, they love to tape these Secret shows. Obviously, you go to their YouTube page. God, at this point, it has to be hundreds, maybe even close to thousands of hours of wrestling that they have yet to even release. So crazy, crazy stuff. But obviously, very easy to check out their product. Sean, last question about Beyond. Just, is this a blind buy when it comes out on DVD/MP4, VOD, whatever?
I don't. It had a lot of good matches. Nothing was as good as, you know. I wasn't blown away by anything, but there were a lot of good matches. And I felt that in a lot of ways it was they did a lot of setup for the March 23rd event, which I think will be a really awesome show. Just by the way they set it up, they announced Chris Hero's coming in. I think that's going to draw some fans to the, you know, more fans to the show. Chris Hero's taking on JT Dunn. It looks like they're setting up Michael Elgin versus Jimmy Jacobs after Jacobs sided with the Doom Patrol, Dickinson, Jaka, and attacked Elgin during the match. They're blowing off the Nicholas K. Anthony Stone feud and tag match. Matt Tremont's going to be there. It's going to be Stone and Matt Tremont against Nicholas K. and Mike Quest in a no rules match. So they set a lot of stuff up, and but it was as a show itself, it was the Jacobs angle. I think with a little editing, it's going to come off awesome. I thought Eric Corvus's promo refuting what Dickinson said about ROH guys taking the spots and beyond was really well done. The Beaver Boys, tag title defense against Team Tremendous was really good. The four-way opener with Vega, Cage, Bucks Belmar, and Cannon was my favorite match of the show. Danny Cannon was just hit an insane moonsault off the pole that's in the middle of the FET music. He climbed the pole, and I thought he was going to hit the piping on the top of the FET music ceiling. It was just a ridiculous spot to see him climb this huge pole and hit a moonsault on everyone.
You saw a title change, which is kind of international title change, of no less.
Shinran is the new champion of Chile, so that was a good match too. And the John Cockerong and C. Eddie segment was the crowd was kind of dying during the second half of the show at times because a lot of people left and people were tired.
Yeah, you told me it was pretty long. I mean, obviously part of that because of the ring situation. But still.
I mean, people really got into as a comedy match, Johnny Cockstrong and Sexy Eddie, and then it turned into a tag match against the Wingmen when they interrupted their match. Gregory Edwards and Mark Sherman, just lots of groin-related chants and groin-related comedy that I won't describe for the people listening at home. But it was really, really funny. And and Gulak and Steen, the crowd was just dead tired. And Gulak and Steen I enjoyed the match, but the crowd just lost all their steam. With Gulak working submissions and finally, getting Steen to tap to the grapevine ankle lock. And then they did this big schmoz at the end, and the Doom Patrol came out. And then, Ciampa and a couple other people ran out to make the save. Elgin chased off Jacobs. And then Ciampa and Gulak got into it for some reason. And they're going to have a submission match next month. So there's another match. And they had this pull-about brawl. For all I know, they're still going at it, Chris. I had to leave.
They could be.
But I watched this brawl for a good 15 minutes. They separate, then go. I mean, this was the longest pull-apart brawl in the history of wrestling. I think it's definitely worth checking out when it comes out. It's, what are they, $15 or so?
Yeah, usually 15, yeah, maybe 20.
Plus shipping, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, these are fun shows. Just after, I was super tired, but I was like, just had this feeling I just saw all this talent under one roof, and I just had a blast live. Seeing these guys I watch in all these different feds, and some of the talent that you Beyond Wrestling brings in that was showcased, it was really great. It's really great to see all that if you're an independent wrestling fan. I just really enjoyed myself at the show, just seeing all that talent.
Well, that's awesome. Of course, we look forward to more of your reports and reviews of Beyond Wrestling. Before you get out of here, though, I just wanted to get your thoughts. Two topics here. One, sure. Ring of Honor's announcement at HonorCon. Obviously, there are tons of rumors, some a little bit more legitimate than not. I even, unfortunately, got kind of caught up in the idea that maybe it's going to be about New Japan talent. Of course, it's obviously a pretty
tisk, tisk.
Open. Yes, I know. It it just, you know, you get kind of excited for these kinds of things. Obviously, it's not outside the realm of possibility. There's still even the quote-unquote working relationship with Noah, for whatever that means. I don't even know what Noah could do at this point for Ring of Honor or vice versa, but you never know. If it comes down to, though, we're not going to ask you what your prediction of the announcement is, though, but does this drum up a lot more excitement? Are you getting a little bit more buzz over on the Torch side with Ring of Honor saying that this is going to live up? I mean, I even can quote Core Bauer telling me that this is going to live up to the hype. So are you seeing any more traffic for that over at the Torch, a little bit more excitement for the Ring of Honor product, or is it still kind of just the usual?
It's kind of the usual, but I think, you know, once it hits, people will definitely be interested because, you know, you see, you know, Court Bauer come out guaranteeing that it's going to be, you know, something, you know, that it's not going to be a letdown. So it's going to be something pretty cool, I think. And people have their lips sealed in Ring of Honor, but, you know, I think it's going to be pretty cool. I might have more than one announcement for all we know, so. There might be some really cool things for their big shows coming up in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's not the unmasking of the Romantic Touch, then I think we're good. So.
Yeah, it just.
And then secondly,
you never know.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. As they said, they could have more than one announcement. I mean, that's who knows. The other thing, though, real quick, Chikara's returning. Are you excited for this?
Yeah, you know what? I am. You know, I didn't think I would be because I got kind of, you know, burned out on the whole long, drawn-out angle. And when I watched National Pro Wrestling Day and...
There's only eight months, Sean. 8 months.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew?
It just surprised me, you know. They were gone for so long, and it was so frustrating not to have them around because I really like Chikara. I know a lot of other people like Chikara. I knew they were coming back at National Pro Wrestling Day for a long time. You know, like, what are they doing with the wrestling Azar? What are they doing with, like, these little angles with Icarus, these Ashes videos? But in the end, it seems, that, at least initially, it's worked out for them, you know. And that's I'm happy about that because I'm glad Chikara has been welcomed back with open arms by their fan base, it seems. You know, no one seems too upset anymore. So hopefully this is back to status quo for Chikara, and they can, you know, have some success this year. You know, just that first show, and then what happens going forward as well. And hopefully they can just capitalize on that first show and get people really excited, and then go from there. You know, Chikara is a lot of fun. They're big shows are usually really good, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do this year.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Sean, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on PWP. I know you're always very busy at the Torch, and I enjoy reading your stuff. For any of our listeners that want to, and I can't imagine that anyone isn't, but just in case there's a chance you don't know who Sean Radican is, where can people contact you and check out your stuff?
Twitter, at Sean Radican, nice and simple. Check me up out at pwtorch.com for all my DVD reviews, news, analysis. I'm starting to review ROH TV, so look for that every Monday, Tuesday. I started last weekend, so that's out. I do independent news, sorry, for the newsletter every week, and you can go to pwtorch.com/govip and see all the different pricing options for our VIP. I've been a little slow on my podcast, but I'm going to relaunch that soon. Hopefully get back in the groove, Chris, as you know. And but I have been on the live cast. It's up for free. Usually I'm on a Wednesday or Thursday with Pat McNeil on Wednesday or James Caldwell on Thursday talking. Usually Wednesday we have an independent wrestling guest. So if you go to pwtorchlivecast.com and search the archives for when I'm on, you can listen for, you know, you can download or stream those shows absolutely free. And
yeah, I believe Sue Young was the latest guest. So I haven't listened to the show yet, but I'm sure it was fun.
Yeah, Sue Young was really good. She's got a great personality, had a lot to talk about her time in WWE Developmental and Shine and DUSA and Shimmer and all sorts of stuff. So she was a great guest and great personality. So if you haven't If you didn't listen live, which we don't get a ton of live listens, it's mostly after the fact, go over to pwtorchlivecast.com. Check out Young from Monte, head of the DGUSA and events this weekend, and then she's on Shine a week from tomorrow.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again,
Sean.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Week from Friday.
Well, yeah, Friday. There you go. Week from the weekend, folks. Just check on that. All
right.
There's
so much going on, Chris. Wow.
There is. There's a lot of shows. There's a lot of stuff. Yeah. We'll be talking about the news. So thanks a lot, Sean. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, Chris, and it's always a pleasure.
All right. I want to thank Sean Radican for joining us on the newscast to talk about Beyond Wrestling. Dez, one last thing. This coming up week, of course, we have our friends over at Smash Wrestling. They're presenting a pretty big show. It is the Danger Zone live from the 227th Lounge. This announced show, they have Brent Banks versus Alex Vega in a ladder match to decide the first entrant in the Smash Championship Tournament. Former WWE Women's Champion and TNA Knockout Champion Mickie James, as well as X Division Champion Jay Lethal. So that should be a lot of fun. Go check them out. This takes place Sunday, February 23rd. Or go to smash-wrestling.com for the information. Lots of big shows. Obviously, Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, Smash Wrestling, like I just mentioned. We're going to have all the results up at pwponderings.com, and we want to thank everyone who shares those results. Really couldn't do this without you guys. So, Dez, any final thoughts? Any shows in particular you're looking forward to this weekend?
Dragon Gate is going to be awesome. I think is the Dragon Gate show on Sunday? Is that in the afternoon?
Sunday. Actually, no. The bell time is still 7 p.m. Okay. Eastern.
So that's going to be tough then. I don't know if they're going to run on pay-per-view, and if they do, they're going to be going up against the Elimination Chamber show. But nonetheless, you've got you got that too this weekend. So there's, and it actually looks like a good pay-per-view. So there are some really good things to watch this weekend if you are a Grapple fan, a fan of Grapple, to quote the great Ken Walton. There's stuff going on. And if you're a wrestling fan, by God, enjoy wrestling this weekend.
Well, Dez, are you going to be watching Elimination Chamber? Are you a Dish Network subscriber?
I'm not, thank God. No, I'm not a Dish Network subscriber. So I'm really watching the Chamber, and I'm trying my damnedest to find a way to get out of doing Living Life on Monday to watch the launch of the WWE Network. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. If I don't hear from you, Dez, I'll just assume you're lost to the WWE Network aether.
I have been absorbed into the aether, the atmosphere that is the WWE Network, never to be seen again.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening to us. As always, check out pwfindings.com. Want to thank all of our new Twitter and Facebook followers. It's been really great. Been interacting with a lot of fresh readers, and we really appreciate that. Of course, use our Amazon and highspots.com links on the website. Help support PWP and let us continue bringing you this content. Dez, I know you do stuff on the internet. Why don't you let the people know what they can find over at your website? I mean, I realize you're going to be the birthday boy, but still, you do some stuff.
Oh, right? Dude, I'm getting an amazing birthday present, a late birthday present on Saturday for our non-wrestling show, Culture My Pop, because I will be welcoming producer Scott Mosier, who has worked on some of my favorite movies of all time, including Clerks, Chasing Amy, Clerks 2, and a bunch of other View Askew movies from the Kevin Smith universe. And he's also done documentaries like A Band Called Death. So much cool stuff from Scott. And he's going to be on the show.
That's
on
awesome.
Saturday.
That is a great documentary, A Band Called Death. That to me was actually pretty awesome. And of course, I bought the CD as well. Pretty good music. I mean, if you're a fan of punk, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. And I know you are, Chris. It's awesome. And we're going to talk to him all about that on Saturday. So tune in to Culture My Pop at Dez Delgadillo on Twitter. And I just want to point out, I know we didn't talk about this on the show because, there's nowhere to fit it in, but I'm going to sneak it into my plug here. The Rock and Roll Express documentary that Michael Elliott's doing with Elbow Productions, it actually met its goal. It surpassed its goal on Kickstarter. And as a fan of wrestling history like that, and as a huge, massive NWA fan especially, I want to thank everybody who funded that. Even though I'm not affiliated with it, I'm selfish in the sense that I want a definitive Rock and Roll Express documentary, and I'm finally going to get it. So thank you for helping that product out, because I'm excited, man. August can't come soon enough.
I wonder if they're interviewing the Young Bucks and the influence of the Rock and Roll Express. Because that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, it is being sold in high spots, so you never know. There is a link there.
Anything could happen.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, of course, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. As always, you can find me, twitter.com/CGSTong, that's CGSTONG, and you can tell me all your thoughts, whether you agree or disagree with my thoughts on Ring of Honor or anything else, contact me there. As always, follow us, pwponderings.com, on Twitter, at pwponderings, at Facebook, at pwponderings, and of course, check out our YouTube page. We're actually going to be using that a little bit more. We have a lot of changes actually coming to the site, maybe some new writers, some new columns, you never know. So check it out, pwponderings.com. For Des Delgadillo and everyone else at PWD, thank you for listening. Have a good week.
Stay tuned for Thunder.